हरि ॐ सहन भवतु सहन गुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 26, Adhyaya Prakashika. In the fourth chapter, Sukadeva Goswami begins to describe the creation through the conversation of Brahma and Narada, after offering respects to his guru and Krishna. The Bhagavatam now returns us to the talks between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikit. The king questions his spiritual master to explain how the Lord creates, maintains, and destroys the universes, and to clarify whether the Lord takes direct command of the modes of material nature or works with the modes through his expansions, e.g. the Purusha avatars. Maharaj Parikit points out that all pastimes of the Lord are wonderful. One wonder is that they remain inconceivable despite the endeavors of so many great learned scholars to understand them. Another wonder is that the Lord remains one even as he assumes different means of directing his material nature, including expanding himself into multi-forms. Sukadeva begins his reply by offering 13 verses of praise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereafter, he informs the king that the answers to his questions were revealed by Brahmadev to his son Narad Muni. The details are given in the chapters that follow this one. Right, so then naturally, so they've gone back to the question, because it was Shonaka and Suta Goswami, they were discussing. Right, and now then Suta, the question has gone back. Oh, so then what did they discuss now? What was his question? So now they've gone back to that. And naturally then in this coming up, it's Krishna is speaking to Brahma. So what was that discussion? That's been revealed to Narad Muni. So that will come up in the next chapters. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 10, Maharaj Parikit inquires further from Sukadeva Goswami. Verses 11 to 25, Sukadeva offers his obeisances to the Lord in praise for his mercy. Because right, now you're going to begin the, you know, serious discussions here. Verses 1 to 10, Maharaj Parikit inquires further from Sukadeva Goswami. In the opening section of chapter 4, Maharaj Parikit requests his spiritual master explain how the Lord creates, maintains, and destroys the universes. In the previous chapter, Suta Goswami was requested to speak about further questions Maharaj Parikit asked of Sukadeva Goswami. Suta begins to describe begins by describing how Maharaj Parikit, the son of Uttara, fixed his consciousness on Krishna as he assimilated the words spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami in the first three chapters of this canto. Because he's having to assimilate the element of indirect into a more regulated indirect, means there's that connection to the Lord, into pure devotional service. In so doing, the king was able to fully detach himself from the material world and all fruit of actions. 1-4. In his purports to these verses, Srila Prabhupada explains that one can become fully detached from matter only when one becomes fully attached to Krishna. Right? Because the point is there's this idea that the jiva is independent. That's why we think, we can become liberated and then attach yourself to Krishna. No, we have to function under one or the other. Right? Because the point is we're expansions of the internal potency. That means we have to function under the internal potency to connect to Krishna. That's the known connection. Now, if we don't recognize the Lord's potency as the Lord's, we think that independently we can enjoy, then the form of the internal potency takes that of the external. Does that make sense? And then in this way, you're connected with the Lord, but you don't know that you're connected to the Lord. But in other words, whatever you're endeavoring for in the material world, it's actually coming from Krishna. The potency is Krishna. Right? So that's what's happening. So then what comes up is that there's not an alternative. It's either you stay in this connection to the Lord through the external potency, or you adjust it and connect through the internal potency, in other words, directly. So it's either directly connected to the Lord or indirect. But this indirect is called delusion because you don't know the connection to the Lord. Right? But we can purify that by becoming aware of the material energy's connection to the Lord. And then any values or any interest we have in it then is also in this way connected and becomes purified. Does that make sense? So we're still connecting with the external energy, but in connection with Krishna. Then, as we progress, then we're interested in connecting directly with Krishna. It means through his internal potency, through devotional service. Does that make sense? So we go from material into mixed devotional service, into pure devotional service. Yes. That makes sense?
Yes.
Like that. So the one is you're connected to the Lord through the external potency. You don't know that. You don't know the Lord. You don't know. The next is you're connecting to the Lord both through the internal and the external potency. But even the external, you're connecting it through this process of connecting through the universal form. So it's mixed, but it's still devotional service because it's progressive. That will bring one to pure devotional service where you just connect to the internal potency, yes.
Can we say that you can be connected to the external not knowing it's Krishna and connected to the external knowing that it's Krishna? And that's the mix that you know that it's actually illusion, but you're still kind of hanging in there?
But the point is you see the connection, but why is it of value to you? It's because of the conditions.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what mixed devotional service is. If you understand its connection to Krishna, and there's nothing for you to gain from, that's called pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. That's what Prikamars is asking about. Because the point is it's the Lord and his energies. Mm-hmm. So there's not a problem of interest. It's always of interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One may have one specific favorite, but it's not that one doesn't have interest. You know, just like, let's say, the guys are sitting around and talking football, right? They'll go on and on and on about football, but they have their favorite special moments.
Yeah.
But anything about football they'll talk. So that's the whole point of the Braj Basis. They can talk about anything about Krishna, but they have their special, their main interest or what they get the most taste from are those special moments with Krishna and Vrindavan. But otherwise Krishna and Dwarka, Krishna and Vaikuntha, Krishna creating material world. Nobody has any problem with this. This idea that they have a problem with it, that comes from the Sahajiyas. But it doesn't come from the spiritual world. Otherwise, you know, how is it they're talking about these things? But you have a great devotee. He's personally seen the Lord. The Lord came and saved him in the womb. Like, how many people do you know that happened to?
I don't know anyone.
Only one. He's the one. Yeah. Right, so that's all. There isn't another. Right? So, very special. And then Sukadev Goswami, right here, he's the parrot. He's from Braj. All they do is talk about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, right? Because they're birds. Do you have to get rid of birds, right? The boy and girl are hiding in the back behind the bushes and, you know, whatever they're into. And the point is, and some birds are there. Do they care? No. So that means the birds get to watch everything, and then afterwards the gopis will ask them next morning, so what happened? Yeah. And they'll go on, oh, this happened, that, you know, what did Krishna say? He said this, what did Rana run? Like that. Okay? Not a bad service. Right? And so now he's talking about the creation. Why? Because it's about Krishna. It's the same Krishna, just Krishna's doing creation. Right? Through his expansions. But it's when we make such a difference between Vishnu and Krishna That's when we think that there's some difference in taste or difference in flavor. Like that. The more you appreciate a person, the wider range of their activities that you are comfortable with. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that. So let us say you have some, let's say, okay. The guys, this is very generic, but the guys on the football team, right? It's like that. They get together. They have a good time. They're crazy. They're wild, this and that. But let's say the guy's into art. Then are they interested? No. They kind of think it's a little stupid, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's say there's a boy he grew up with in the school, they've been together, they've been neighbors, gone to school together and all that. They can share a wider range of interests.
Yes.
So that's just the way it works. It's just a matter of the depth of the relationship. So it's taken the other way, that the deeper the relationship, the more narrow it is. No, the deeper the relationship, the wider it is. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why ignorance makes everything look backwards. So sahajas, it's an ignorance. That's why whatever they profess is always backwards, generally always backwards from what's reality. Right? The Krishna's name is Krishna, okay, they got that one right. But there's not a whole lot else. Like that.
But they think they're the attractive ones.
Yeah.
Instead of him.
Yeah, that's it.
Also got that wrong.
So,
yes.
Can we say that Maharaj Parikshit, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Time, he has the symptoms of pure devotee?
In the beginning, yes. Like that. Because it's starting off, the literature itself is saying it's only dealing with pure devotion. So then naturally then it's, okay, well how did this special literature come up that's only describing pure devotion? Because all the other, these are scholars, so they know the Vedic literatures. They know that none of the other literatures talk exclusively about pure devotion. They may refer to it, but they don't talk exclusively about it. So this is a unique scripture. So how did this come about? What's its history? And so the topic is Sukadev and Bricket Marsh. So because the book is about pure devotion, we must be starting from this platform. Like that. But it's done in such a way that we as neophytes can relate to it and appreciate it.
With progression.
Yes, with progression. Because you have such a wide range of personalities here that have come. Because, in other words, there's something great's going to happen. They all know position of Parikshit Maharaj, and they all know the position of Sukadev. And so they all want to come and hear this conversation. Does that make sense? So they've just all come. But it's a wide range of audience. Radhanath Maharaj is going to discuss about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan with Giriraj Maharaj. Like that. It would be... And, if devotees wanted to come, they could sit and hear. So what would you get?
Many types,
a wide range of an audience. Right? Because they think, okay, here's two senior devotees, they know a lot about Vrindavan, this is going to be good. So everybody wants to hear, but it's not that everybody's on the level like they're on.
Yes.
So the same way, how many of these sages are on the same level as Parikshit and Sukadev? So you take the conversation from the beginning right through. Because this question is, what is good for everybody? So then that's discussed. And then ultimately that brings us to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, which is good for everybody as when they qualify. In his purports to these verses, Srila Prabhupada explains that one can become fully detached from matter only when one becomes fully attached to Krishna. Therefore, you don't get such thing as the best of both worlds. Like that. Because, one, there is no best here. And there's only best there.
Yeah.
So it's not that, okay, out of all the options in the spiritual world, we pick the best. No, they're all best. And of all the best situations here, none of them are best. Right? You know, so there's no such thing. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without any diversion, as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness, and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness, and where there is darkness, there is no light. Right? So it's not that the darkness has overcome the light, the darkness simply means lack of light. That's all. That's all. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord, and the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhishthira and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, near Banda Krishna Sambande, must give up all material connections before he can become fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Prickett, from a fit personality like Sukadeva Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. So, point is someone who can connect everything to Krishna, then there's no problem with them engaging all these so-called material facilities. But they're no longer material for them. They're only Krishna's.
Yes.
Right? So in other words, if you see it separately from Krishna, then the process is to give it up.
Yes.
If one sees it in connection to Krishna, then the process is to engage it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How about if we see it separate from Krishna, then change so we start to see it as connected?
Of course you can, but the point is then you're connecting it to Krishna. The point is that it must be connected to Krishna. So if you can do that either by giving it up, and then from that detached position, then you're able to appreciate Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're already able to appreciate whatever you have in connection to Krishna. Then it works nicely. But if it doesn't, then that point of detachment. Because why do we say detachment? Because the attachment is what separates us from Krishna. We see it separately because we're attached to it. So because we see it separately to Krishna. If we see it connected to Krishna, we're not attached to it. Right? That's the fun.
Yes.
So. This contradictory element, we may complain, but that is just the nature. That is the epitome of the feminine nature. And we see the feminine nature as the counterpart to the masculine. And the masculine actually contains more contradiction than the feminine. Right? And the feminine is consistently inconsistent in itself.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But then you add to it that the source of that is different from that, and at the same time contains that. So you have all the contradictions there, plus then the separateness and the independence of the masculine identity. So that's why, means if you think that understanding women is difficult, then understanding God's more difficult because women come from God. Right, so that makes it more.
Yeah.
Right, because the creation comes from the Lord. And that's feminine. So if that's contradictory, what about the source of all that contradiction? Right?
Yeah.
So because he acts just very balanced and peaceful. So all those contradictions have been reconciled in him. In the feminine, they're not reconciled. Because if they were, then where's the taste? You understand? So that's even more contradictory, that you can reconcile all contradictions and they're all balanced, right? So that's the point. That's why he's God. He's unique. He's different than anything we know about. So our charade to be God, we're not doing a great job.
We're not convincing.
Yeah, no, we're not. So he can lose all affinity, so therefore he can deal with it. But in the others, they must give it up. Right? So therefore must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear. Now, that has that double meaning of giving up all material connections means if you still see it as material, you have to separate yourself from it. If you don't see it as material, then you've already separated yourself from the material.
Yes.
Does that make sense? The man's in his house, and he thinks this is my house, and he can't see it any other way. Then he's going to have to act in ways or expose himself to ways where he's not connected with the house. Mm-hmm. Right? Then he can start to view the house in a different way. Right? You know, like take him down to the, the road planning commission where they have a highway going through his house. You know, it might start to change his view. Right? You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but at the same time, as if one sees the house connected to Krishna, there is no material connection. Therefore, in that position, one can continue serving Krishna from that position. Does that make sense? You can't have the cake and eat it. Though we were trying desperately since time immemorial to affect that particular, situation. Maharaj Parikshit said, O learned Brahmana, you know everything because you are without material contamination. Therefore, whatever you have spoken to be appears perfectly right. Because if you have material contamination, there's going to be some problem. Right? Does that make sense? That's why in the Varnashram system it's broken up. If everybody is exactly the same, you're associating with exactly the same. And the perspectives are exactly the same. And then you get the phenomena of the blind leading the blind into the ditch. Because everybody sees the same. But if you look at it in the Vedic system, brahmacharis see it differently than grihasthas, they see it differently than vanaprasas, see it differently than sannyasis. So you get all these different perspectives on connecting things to Krishna. Where one is strong, the other, that's where their weakness is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So we have to know our strengths and weaknesses.
We have to know the strengths and weaknesses. Okay. Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance, for you are narrating the topics of the Lord. After thus glorifying the purity of Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj continued his inquiries. He wished to know from Sukadeva the answers to three questions. One, how does the Lord create the universes, which are inconceivable? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Maharaj Parikshit said, first I will ask about the pastimes of creation by his Maya Shakti. Then I will ask about his pastimes such as lifting Govardhan Hill using his Chit Shakti. Right, so first he's just trying to get, you know, how these different aspects work using his different Shaktis. In his purport to verse 6, Srila Prabhupada explains why Maharaj Parikshit followed this order in his inquiries. Maharaj Parikshit did not ask his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to narrate Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He wanted to hear first about the creation of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami did not say that the king should hear about the direct transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The time was very short, and naturally Sukadeva Goswami could have gone directly to the 10th canto to make a shortcut of the whole thing, as generally done by the professional reciters, right? In other words, they have a Bhagavat Sapta because they spoke for 7 days. So they have a Bhagavat Sapta they do for 7 days also, saying it's in the line of Sukadeva Goswami like this. But they only discussed 10th canto for 7 days.
Yeah.
While Parikshit and Sukadeva discussed all 12 cantos in 7 days. Right? So, you know, they should figure it out. Okay, you know how many hours it is and then stretch it out a bit, you know. You know. We'll have a Bhagavat, you know, 73 day. You know? Yeah, like that. Okay.
No eating.
That could also be, yeah.
And nobody die at the end.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Sukadeva Goswami. I mean, Parikshit Maharaj did, but.
Yeah.
You know, You know, it was big. It was serious. But neither the king nor the great speaker Srimad Bhagavatam jumped up like the organizers of Bhagavatam. Both of them proceeded systematically, so that both future readers and hearers might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Bhagavatam. Right? So neither did Sukadev jump forward, neither did Preet Maharaj in his questions jump forward. Those who are under the control of the external energy of the Lord, or in other words, those who are in the material world, must first of all know how the external energy of the Lord is working under the direction of the Supreme Personality. And afterwards, one may try to enter into the activities of his internal potency. Only when one knows the Lord Krishna's greatness can one firmly put one's unflinching faith in him. Because right now we're trying to be God, so only when we appreciate that he's God, then we'll put that unflinching faith. Because otherwise, how will he take care? He's maintaining unlimited universes. Right, and we're thinking, how is he going to, you know, get me through my exams, or you know, how is he going to get me, you know, this and that, you know, this is, you know, like that. You know?
It's really hard, but it's really hard, the exams.
So that's there, but the point is that there's unlimited ones going on. This is only one of them, and you're only one person in the whole group in the exams.
Yeah.
To appreciate the greatness is the first step.
Yes, because then you appreciate. But we don't. Where means, in other words, our taste is not there. But it's not that our appreciation isn't. Because if you can't appreciate and understand how Krishna created things, then how do you see things connected to him? Right. That's the whole point. Is that you know, it's just like I probably mentioned, like the trees. Krishna's mystic potency. His trees eat through their feet. Right? So that's quite unique. How many people do you know eat their feet? Right? You know? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty unique.
Yeah, right? It's pretty unique.
Yeah. Otherwise, like the common man, even the great leaders of men will mistake Lord Krishna for one of the many demigods, or a historical personality, or a myth only. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, or even at Dwarka, are relishable for persons who have already qualified themselves in advanced spiritual techniques. And the common man may be able to attain to such a plane by the gradual process of service and inquiries, as we shall see in the behavior of Maharaj Parikit. Question two. How does the Lord engage his energies and expansions in maintaining and destroying the universes? Text 7. 3. How does the Lord himself direct the modes of nature, or does he do this work through his expansions? 9. Right, because we know he's involved, so how does he do it himself, or does he expand and take care of it? King Parikit, because otherwise you do have the element, Brahman's not involved, but at the same time, is nothing can go on without Brahman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then how is this? He's not going to take part, he's not going to transform, it means his energy's transformed. So how does he take care of his energies? You know, is this, in other words, his full energy, his internal potency is not functioning. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you're only manifesting external, then you only have to deal with a certain amount of potency to do that. So does he do that small manifestation of potency himself, or does he expand and do that? King Parikit expresses full faith that his Guru Dev will clear up these doubts. 10. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Vichikitsitam means doubt, Quote, if this is hard for the wise to understand, how do you know that I know? End quote. Just as Krishna, Bhagawan, knows you, his devotee also knows. You are expert in discerning the Vedas and in realizing Krishna. Other writers of scripture do not realize Krishna. They do not know. The Lord says, what do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meanings of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21-42. So that's the whole point, is that even these great sages don't know. And it's not that they're meant to know. Right? Because you can't know by karma or jnana. If the Veda is Krishna, then through karma and jnana you can't know Krishna. So what does it actually mean? The only ones that know the Veda are the devotees. So the devotees can give to you the understanding of what the Vedas mean. So it's not a strange thing. The Vaishnavas should hear the pastimes of Krishna and the avatars involving the Chit Shakti, but should similarly hear the pastimes of the Purusha avatars, such as creating the universe, involving Maya Shakti. These pastimes should not be leered at. This is Vishwanath. The hearer, Parikit, and the speaker, Sukadev, intended that those pastimes should be known. The philosophical significance of Maharaj Parikit's questions as distilled from verses 6 through 10 in their purports. One should understand the ways and means of Krishna's relationship to the material world. All that exists comes from Krishna. How then does he create? One should not jump to his intimate pastimes of Vrindavan, neglecting knowledge of the greatness of God. One should first learn of the supreme power and authority of the Lord. One should know how he creates, maintains, and destroys the material universes. One should understand that he is separate and independent from all his energies. Although to fully understand the Lord's energies, names, and expansions is not possible, Krishna in his mercy does reveal himself by the medium of pure devotional service, up to the limits of the individual soul's capacity for transcendental knowledge. And so as much as one's interested to know, in other words, that's one's capacity, then that's how much he knows. Like one may say, no, but what about going beyond the soul's transcendental? That's there, yes. Of course one's going beyond the limits of the conditioning. But even the particular soul themselves, one is within our conditioning, then we learn up to our capacity. Right? But then next comes is that even within the spiritual position, there's a capacity. Because there's a particular taste and interest. Mother Yashoda is not interested in knowing about, you know, certain aspects of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna revealed to her things that weren't revealed to anyone else. But it's just kind of like she was wondering, you know, did something from breakfast kind of disagree with her, and now she's having hallucinations. Right? Does that make sense? So it works both on the material and spiritual platform. A person may be learned and scholarly, but he cannot realize the Lord except through the Shastra illuminated by the example and teachings of the Lord's pure devotees. So you can only know through scripture, and that only through the pure devotees. So unless the Chit Shakti touches it, you will not know. Right? And anything other than scriptures will not give one proper, complete knowledge.
Yes. Even from material knowledge.
Even from material. If it's not based from the scripture, it's going to be limited in its capacity. It's not that someone can't explain beyond what that's giving. But the individual, by studying that, won't gain it. The scholar... They've been discussing, you know, scholars have been discussing so many things of this world for thousands and thousands of years, and still they don't have an idea. Right? All these different aspects of philosophy that people think are important, then we agree with that. Right? It's part of our philosophy because it has the completeness. They're trying to make something out of one part. Like, the, like say, Stoics. What are they known for?
Being Stoic.
Being Stoic, yes. Very good. Thank
you.
And so then if I ask the same question, what are the Protestants known for?
Protesting.
Protesting, yes.
See? That's how it works.
He learned something. Okay. So that means in this point of just the mature world is going to be tough.
Yeah.
And so therefore you just tolerate it and go on with your duties and don't worry about it. That's a very standard part of our philosophy. But it only deals with that part. You know, to make a whole lifestyle out of that, then that becomes a bit boring.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So every philosophy has something. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, everything has something.
Yes.
But the point is they only have that much, but they're trying to make a whole meal out. I have one lettuce leaf and I'm trying to make a whole menu out of that. It's gonna be tough. You know, I leave it as it is. I roll it up. You know, I roll it up and stick a what do you call it? Toothpick through it.
Ooh.
And, ooh, yeah. I cut it. I shred it. You know, I soak it in water. I take it out of the. I mean, it's like there's only so many things you can do, right? You know, they say we're having a single piece of watercress soaked in a bowl of water.
Sounds fancy.
Now, if we said it in French,
Then
it would sound very good.
Very good.
Good to get a push out.
Yes. Yes, on a fast day, right? So renounced, you only drink the water. It was in St. Louis, and Guru Kripa Jashodananda, they came to the temple, right? No, so Swamis came, you know, so that they brought the whole maha plate, all the sweets, everything, all the brahmacharis are really, you know, woo. You know, and they brought it to the room and they just kind of like, you know, just took a tulsi leaf, yeah, take it away, you know, like that. They think, wow, so renounced, you know, so they were impressed. Are you waiting for the rest of it? No one knew that they had a whole bunch of prasad left from the last place they were in, so they ate that.
Might be something like that, Lorraine.
But the boys were impressed.
So it was worth it.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. Okay. One should know how he creates, maintains, and destroys the material universes. One should understand that he is separate and independent from all his energies. Although to fully understand the Lord's energies, names, and expansions is not possible, Krishna in his mercy does reveal himself by the medium of pure devotional service up to the limits of an individual soul's capacity for transcendental knowledge. A person may be learned and scholarly, but he cannot realize the Lord except through the Shastra illuminated by the example and teachings of the Lord's pure devotees. Thus, to know the Lord, one must first approach a spiritual master, who not only is well-versed in Vedic literatures, but who is also a great devotee with factual realization of the Lord and his different energies, verses 10 through 60-10. Right? Therefore, we can understand the importance of the founder Acharya. Right? Or is it, I think it's the Shri's, the title, the position is called the Acharya Purush. Right? Because, in other words, he's the one that establishes everything. Because he has all this understanding. Yeah. The previous Acharyas have this understanding. So we need to have people who have an interest in this, are trying to practice that, and put us in contact with it, so that we can have an appreciation. Right? Then the whole process works. Yes.
What is factual realization means what?
Factual realization means, to some degree, one's factually appreciating Krishna in some aspect.
Is this real?
Real means you see like that. I'm saying it can be any of the real, any of the levels of realization. We're going to hear 10th canto about the gopis and Krishna from someone in Shantaras.
Oh, yes.
You understand? So this idea is no, but unless you're on that platform. But the Bhagavatam is not spoken by a gopi. You know, and then if you're talking about that, then, you know, of the gopis, then it would have to be, you know, Radharani.
Yes.
And so then, unless it, you know, was spoken by Radharani, then it's not, you know what I'm saying? This is the problem. So when it's in touch with the chit potency, and there whatever realization one has in connection with that, then there's that potency is there. So if you want to know, you will know, because it's Krishna who reveals. Right? It's not worth it. Since I'm not the doer, then no one else is a doer either. Right? So one point of solace.
Yes, if
I'm not in control, okay, as long as no one else is in control. Right? You know? Okay, you know, okay. Krishna's in control, okay. No other Jesus. Right? So you get the whole point is that it's not that Sukadev Goswami is making it happen. It's because he's serving Krishna. Krishna's pleased. So he becomes the via media. So whatever he desires happens. But not that he's on his own power making it happen. Right? So the pure devotees are blessing someone and they become blessed. Why? Because they wanted it. Why? Because Krishna's pleased. And therefore Krishna blesses them. So his mercy follows the mercy of the devotees. Right? So the devotee is still never the doer. But it's as good as. So that's the point, is this idea of being the doer is fine as long as it's in connection with Krishna. But if you actually think, I'm doing this, then you're not doing anything. And the one who thinks, I'm not doing it, is Krishna's doing it, actually, whatever Krishna's doing follows what the person who says, I'm not doing anything, does.
That's a prohibition.
Yes.
Maharaj?
Yes.
In the purport to verse 10, Prabhupada, he talks about the expansions of the different forms of the Lord. And he mentions as from Krishna to Baladev to Sangasyana, from Sangasyana to Vasudev, from Vasudev to Aniruddha, from Aniruddha to Prajumna. And this is kind of like another progression than we usually take.
No, I mean Krishna Baladev, Baladev to Narayan.
And the
Baladev to Sankarshan. Yes, Sankarshan, because Sankarshan is there because Mahanarayan is just in between, but when you're talking about the application, then the Sankarshan, yes, and then Sankarshan
to? To Vasudev.
Vasudev, because then we're talking about the pastimes. Right? And then you get, from there comes Aniruddha, because you are going to be attracted to the pastimes. Therefore, Prajumna, you're inspired to be involved or to take part in the process. So you're not necessarily talking, you're talking about how the potency is coming down, but at the same time how it works for us. Right? Because things coming from Aniruddha, then creates that element of Prajumna. If I see the goal, I'm inspired.
Yes.
You know, it's just like the people are running and all that, and they're running at their, you know, pacing themselves, and when they can see the finish line, then it speeds up. They see the goal, the horse, they're just going slow, slow. But then when they can see home, then they start running. Right? You know, so it's the same thing, is that when the goal is seen, though it's not obtained, then Prajumna comes up. Then from there, then that's where we connect into it. Then we make the endeavor, you get Aniruddha, you get the results. Does that make sense?
Yes. And my doubt is that we have been told that the Vasudev Sattva is the origin of consciousness and Sankarshan is the lord of ignorance.
But he's the lord. Somebody's got to take charge of ignorance. Yeah, you take charge. No, you.
Why is it always me?
Yeah, why is it always me? Just because I'm the last one to come. Yeah. You can do it for a while. Okay, I'll do it. No, so they're for Sankarshan, right? No, it's because you're dealing with what reverses. When you talk about reflection, because the point is there. What is means here is ignorance, but what is ignorance here? What's the significance of ignorance here in connection with this understanding of Sankarshan?
Thinking that you're the controller of enjoyment.
That's there. So is that knowledge or is that
existence?
Yes. Right? So that means our very existence is ignorance.
Yes.
What's the existence in the spiritual world? That I'm servant of the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why Sankarshan or Baladev is the Adi Guru. Right? It means he's the guru on that side of it. On the devotional activity side of it, that's Radharani. So you have both from Balaram and from the internal potency. Right? So Krishna is the original guru of all the, you know what I'm saying? Because he's the source of both of these. But they each have their flavor. Because when it's with him, then that's within the pastimes. Right? Then they're here and that's how we can see. And then that comes down through these various expansions. Right? You know, it's like that. One devotee is on Sankirtan, he's somehow or another doing, he's getting too mechanical or something. And then just one, you know, one of these average, you know, how you say, middle class, middle aged, you know, housewives just. Who's there and he just makes the comment. He says, you know, if you were a little more, if you focused where you had more sincerity, people would take you more seriously. It's kind of like, where did that come from? And then she walks off.
Yes.
You know? Yes. Or, yeah. You know, so who arranges that, you know? So that's the whole, you know? So many devotees can tell you of incidents like that. It is there, the most unlikely person comes up and says something.
Maharaj, there was asking a decade ago, the Remembering Prabhupada videos. Sudama Maharaj was saying, Prabhupada told him, always be ready to receive my instruction, I can instruct you through anybody.
Yes. Very good. Okay, so is that good? Now verses 11 to 25. Sukadeva Goswami offers his obeisances to the Lord and prays for his mercy. Sukadeva begins his reply by offering 13 verses of praise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereafter, he informs the king that the answers to his questions were revealed by Brahmadev to his son, Narad Muni. Right? Because in other words, why speak when there's another description? Right? Because it's already perfectly done there. So if someone asks something so nice, you can refer to something that's standard. One is that you would speak according to what has been heard, what has been revealed. The second, same time, is then such good questioning. It's in the same line as Narad Muni discussing with Brahmadev, right? So then you can understand the quality of conversation we're dealing with here. Right? Yeah. Sudha Goswami now recounts the reply of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva first fixes his remembrance upon the Lord, footnote 11. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sukadeva Goswami says, Hrishikesh is the person who inspires all the senses. May the Lord become situated in my words and answer you. Right? So in other words, by the Lord, may he knows we're only an instrument. Srila Prabhupada explains, the devotees of the Lord, while delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. They think that they can speak only what they are induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the Master of the senses. The senses of the individual being are not his own. The devotee knows that such senses belong to the Supreme Lord and that they can be properly used when they are employed for the service of the Lord. The senses are instruments and elements, and elements are ingredients, all endowed by the Lord. So elements are ingredients, senses are instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so the ingredients, what's used, but then what you use to use, you know, it's just like you're cooking, you have ingredients, and then you have instruments, the pot, the spoon, and that fish. Therefore, whatever an individual can do, speak, see, etc., is under the direction of the Lord only. The Bhagavad Gita 15.15 confirms this. Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishto matas mritir jnanam apohanam cha. No one is free to act freely and independently. And as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. And by the blessings of the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned soul. Right? So that's the point. If we're an instrument, then things happen that are beyond. Right? So if we say, oh, he can't do this, or he's conditioned, or he's not, you know, uttamadhikari, this, then the difficulty comes is then we're saying he's the doer. When we're all just instruments. It's the Lord who's doing. So if someone is connected to the Lord, dependent upon the Lord, then the Lord does. And then you end up with amazing results. Okay. He then offers his respectful obeisances unto him, who accepts the three modes of material nature for the purpose of creating the material world, and who is the complete whole and the inconceivable Lord residing within all. Again and again, Sri Sukadeva makes obeisances to the Lord and glorifying him as one who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distresses and the destroyer of the further advances in atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. So he liberates the pious from distress and the destroyer and further advances in atheistic temperament for the non-devotees. So even the demons to become more demoniac, still it's only by the Lord's grace. Right? You know, I mean, how bad can someone be? Right? You have to have confidence. You have to have energy, enthusiasm. You have to have a plan. You know, you have to be very qualified to be bad. Right? Just you have to be qualified to be good. So that's the thing, is you choose which direction you want to go.
It's not for lazy people.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to be a big-time demon, you can't be a lazy guy and be a big-time demon. Yeah. That's what someone told today. It means that... It means more if you're in the original language and all that, and also the context, because it didn't mean so much to me. So, but one... is there a joke amongst the ladies, what they were saying is that, you know, every girl wants, you know, Prince Charming, you know, comes riding in the white horse and, you know, how you say, you know, become the husband. And then she's surprised, you know, that he sits around on the couch all day. Right? Right? That makes sense. Those from a more Russian background, it makes sense. Yes, it makes sense. Because, in other words, the prince does nothing, right? You know, so don't be surprised. He comes in, he's got a nice horse, right? He looks good like that, but what can he do? He does nothing. Princes do nothing. They sit at home all day. You know?
He's charming.
Yeah, he's charming, right? You know. So he looks good sitting on the couch, but that's about it. Yeah. So.
Watch his nice programs.
Huh?
Watch his nice programs.
Yeah, yeah, like that. So that's the thing. So you want to be bad, you got to be active. You know?
Get out there.
Well, that would imply that the bigger demon must have some strong passion in them.
Yeah, you know, big demon, to be a big demon, you have to have focus. Mm-hmm. Because the point is you're going against, you know, the standard ways of doing things. So because of that, you're going to get so many bad reactions. You have to be much more aware of all these bad reactions. So you have to really be focused to be able to do this. It's only by the Lord's grace. But the point is you're getting farther and farther away from the Lord, so you're not actually getting benefit by being such a good demon. You know? Unless you're so good that you know, come stand Hiranyakashipu or something. then Krishna may kill you himself personally. But then the problem is you don't, because of your demoniac nature, you don't see him as the Lord. Therefore, you don't get any spiritual benefit. Right? You only get material benefit. What to do?
So Maharaj, this means that in Kali Yuga, everybody is lazy, more or less. So there is no.
So they're not as big as, you know, they're not as big as before. You know, it's like, you know, it's rare.
The prophet says,
like,
a small
time. Yeah, yeah. They're small. They're small time. They're not big. You know, they're not controlling the planets and, you know, doing all that kind of thing. For the transcendentalists who are situated on the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destinations. Because, right? Because you want to worship the Lord in a particular way, that means there's a particular destination to go to worship the Lord in that specific way. So he grants that. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, he grants that. In his 11 to 13, in his purport to verse 13, Srila Prabhupada describes two different types of transcendentalists. Their paramahamsas are generally found among both the impersonalists and the devotees. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, as clearly stated by Kunti Devi, pure bhakti yoga is understood by the paramahamsas, and Kunti Devi has especially mentioned that the Lord descends, paritranaya sadhunam, Bhagavad Gita 4:8, especially to award bhakti to the paramahamsas. So ultimately the paramahamsas, in the true sense of the term, are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has directly accepted that the highest destination is bhakti yoga, by which one accepts the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who accept the path of bhakti yoga are factually paramahamsas. So that's why sometimes the word paramahamsa is used even with the impersonalists. But otherwise, sometimes we also make that distinction that paramahamsas and hamsas.
Okay. Yeah. Personally, in that sense, means Brahmavali?
Yes, Brahmavali. Because the others are, you know, even less.
Yes.
You know, there may be some elements or aspects where they're absorbed in the understanding of Brahman, but generally it's not that great, unless they're coming in a Brahmavadi line. But generally nowadays, all the impersonal lines are Mayavadi.
Yes.
So you're not really going to find a proper Brahmavadi.
Like Shukadeva Goswami was considered like a paramahamsa.
He would be a paramahamsa. So then from there, he's already transcendentally situated. He knows that. It means he's sitting in the womb and doesn't see any reason to come out. But hearing the Lord's pastimes, he can see the superiority of that, because being a paramahamsa, he can differentiate between matter and spirit. And now he can see within spirit that there's gradation. So pastimes about the Lord is superior to just the Brahman platform. Therefore he comes out to take part in devotional service. Otherwise, then, on the Brahman platform, what does it matter where you're situated? It doesn't really matter.
I think it matters for his mom.
They get a little worried. Yeah?
Well, I just gave a description of how to do it. I'll go into that position of being in the room in the Brahmavadi, whereas you previously in.
I don't know. I don't know. Our Polish historian is not here. He seems to know all the stories.
When Sukadeva left the womb, actually Krishna had to convince him to come out.
Yes.
Vasudeva took him to Krishna, his wife to Krishna. So he promised him he wouldn't get entangled. But he walked away to the grief-stricken cries of his father, "Oh my son."
Yes.
That's the verse. So there's a story that Vedavyas sent two Brahmins with two verses to search out Sukadeva Goswami. And one of those verses is the one that wondering whether you need what Bhakta's are, the who could be more merciful than Krishna. He gives Bhutana a position as a nurse in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. Who's more merciful than that? And the second one's from the 10th canto. It's just a gorgeous verse. I should know it, but I know it. And it's about Krishna entering the forest with the flower in his ear. And when Sudev heard these two verses, actually they were singing them as they were going. They were woodsmen. Maybe, maybe they were Brahmins. Anyway, they were singing them in the forest, and Sukadeva heard the verses, and his mind was attracted. And because his mind was attracted, he understood that this is transcendental. So then he went back to Bhadarak Ashram and studied the completed Bhagavatam, you know, when he was 15 or whatever. So he had been gone for that long, and Veda Vyas was still working on the Bhagavatam. And when it was at a certain stage, he sent those two messengers with the verses, and then he came back and he studied. And that's also in the second canto. You know, Sukadeva Goswami says, I studied this great work with my father, Veda Vyas. So that's... I don't know where that story is, but that's something I read.
We were just reading that the other day. Vishwanath explains that. But he went on to mention that in doing that, still he expanded himself. So one portion went home and the other portion stayed out. So he studied.
Vishwanath said that?
Yes. Because one went home, I think that form even got married, and you know, the whole with the whole family.
Wow, married. After nine, was how long in the womb? 16 years?
Yeah.
You got married? Wow. That's pretty heavy.
But that not who's speaking the Bhagavatam. That's just a form for his family to be happy with. But of course,
that's the whole idea. You know, he had an affectionate father, and that's, you know, Bharat Maharaj, he decided to go deaf and dumb on his father because he knew.
But here is his father is Vishnu Tattva. This Vyas is Vishnu Tattva. All the other Vyasas are Jivas, this one is Vishnu Tattva. So that's why.
Well, Shaktivesh.
He's not a Shaktivesh. He is Vishnu Tattva, this Vyas. Vyasas always are Shakti Vesh, but this one's directly Vishnu. Mm-hmm. Just like the Kali Yuga avatar is always a Shakti Vesh, but this one's not only Vishnu, but Swayam Krishna. Right? And Krishna, the Yuga avatar in Dwapara Yuga, is blackish. Then instead of being expansion of, you know, Kiradaksha, Vishnu, Garbhadaksha, is directly the Lord Himself. So you have some special, this particular group. It only happens once in the day of Brahma, like that. So it happens in the seventh Manvantara, in the 28th cycle, like that. Then this happens. And also the Yugas, Treta Yuga and Dwapara switch. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique combination. So then, you know, so these things might happen. So it's not a bad thing. So then that means if Vyas is Vishnu Tattva, that means his wife must be some variety of Shakti Tattva. Okay, so, but you don't really hear about that. That's just something that happens amongst themselves. Because he had already spoken the seed of the Bhagavatam and everything before when he's in the womb. He had already explained everything there. But that was, he hadn't finished that full form of the Bhagavatam. But the seed form was already there. Right at the top of the page.
Yes.
Since the Lord is very kind to everyone, the impersonalists who accept bhakti as the means of merging the existence of the Lord and his impersonal Brahma Jyotir are also awarded their desired destination. He has assured everyone in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatam amprapadyante. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, there are two classes of Paramahamsas, namely the Brahmanandis, impersonalists, and the Premanandis, devotees. And both are awarded their desired destinations. Although the Premanandis are more fortunate than the Brahmanandis, but both the Brahmanandis and the Premanandis are transcendentalists. And they have nothing to do with the inferior material nature full of the existential miseries of life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. The sweetness of the Lord's mercy is now described. Again, I offer respects to you, who destroy the suffering of your devotee by appearing as Rama and Krishna. You destroy the suffering of material existence for the sinful non-devotee Rakshasas and Asuras by personally killing them. Kila Sattva means inferior material existence. Akila Sattva means superior spiritual existence. You have a body of Shuddha Sattva. You are the shelter of the mood of the Paramahamsas. You are the giver of the bliss of Brahman to the Bhakti Mistra Jnanis and the giver of bliss of Prema to the pure devotees who are under your shelter. Right? So here is even the impersonalists, if they accept Bhakti as the method, they will get their impersonal liberation. So the point is, without Bhakti, you can't actually derive anything. Sukadeva Goswami continues. Right. So it's interesting. Kila Sattva, Akila Sattva, and then he is Shuddha Sattva. So Shuddha Sattva means in connection with the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami continues, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty and who is always a problem for the non-devotees. Interesting, you mentioned he's the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty rather than said the Yadu dynasty are, you know, how you say, his associates. He says he's the associate of the Yadu dynasty. You know, so the Yadu dynasty is there, he appears in that, and then he's like that. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds, yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. So there's the material and the spiritual, that's the impersonal, then there's the personal, he has his own place. There's no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Footnote 12. In his purport to verse 15, Srila Prabhupada explains, one may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get freedom, free from the reaction of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willingly in expectation of getting free from the reaction of sins by worshiping in the temple or by offering prayers in the church. This mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called namno balad yasya hi papa bhuti. It is a great offense, greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. So here is that whether one's offering prayers personally or impersonally, right? Because most others, it's just impersonal, just the supreme, they don't think about him as a, really as a person. They talk about him as a person, relate in one way as a person, but in their description he's not. But the point is they will be free. They will be purified. But as long as they're not committing sin, thinking, I will just go to the temple and pray, then they won't get purified. But if they've just done things that are not right and surrendered to the Lord, then it will work. They'll be purified, no matter what the background is. Does that make sense? Because they're surrendering to the Lord. Just they don't know beyond the impersonal. Let me offer my respectful obeisances. Right? So, therefore, he's talking about Krishna here specifically. He's the Lord of the material and the spiritual worlds. Right? And so he's always enjoying his pastime. But he has his abode beyond that. Right? So then Goloka is where Krishna performs his pastimes. As you remember, Rupa Goswami is defining. That's what makes Goloka what it is. Because you wonder, what's the common point? Because the common point is there is that Krishna performs his pastimes there. There's three aspects, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, but it's still the same one Krishna. Right? It means there's consistency. He is thinking about how I was doing these pastimes in Vrindavan. Right? Or he's in Vrindavan thinking, yeah, I have to go to Mathura and take care of things there. So it's the same person. It's not a difference. That's why we see that when they refer to it, they may refer to him being with the queens. You know, as the same expansions, you know, or they can be talking about in the Rasa dance. Like that. It just depends on your audience. Right? So then there's a different mood when you go to Ayodhya and Vaikuntha. Therefore, it's a different place. Right? But Goloka means it's Krishna. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of the Vedic hymns, and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. Footnote 13. On the other hand, a devotee attains all these fruitful results and the supreme abode simply by performing devotional service. A person who... from Gita. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So he gets all that, plus he attains to the Lord's abode. While the others, they may get the specific one that they're endeavoring for, and then when that's over, it's over. You know, that's the case. When it's over, it's over. Okay, so now these great performers, right? Great sages, performers of charity, great workers of distinction, great philosophers, mystic, chanters of the Vedic hymns, followers of the Vedic principles, they can't achieve any fruitful result without, you know, the qualities, being connected with the qualities of the Lord. So these are the ones that stand out. You know, the ones that are not mentioned are the ones that aren't so important. Right? Because these are all elements that you can engage nicely in the Lord's service. Things outside that have just not have been even brought up. Now here is our, where we come in. Kirata, Puna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Right, and even others, so that counts the ones that aren't in these great lines. Right?
Yeah. Right. We are mentioned.
Yes, we all get mentioned. Yeah, right there. The Shumba is like that. Because it's like some of them you have in different, call it Kirata Huna, that's the Hunas of the Hungarians, or the Mongols, like that. Genghis G and his descendants, like that. Those are the Hunas, the Andras, Pulindas. The different Shumbas. Also, I think also is known as the. You have groups of them here, but they're also known as the Siberians, like that. They're You have in both places, but otherwise up in Siberia, because they're in their own kind of category, the Siberians. Even amongst Russians, they're in their own kind of group. Yeah. You know, their own headspace, their own culture and everything. So they're one of the tribes like that. But there are ones from India. You do find them here also. Like that. And then Yavanas, then those means those who are opposed to the Vedic culture, like that.
Isn't that the Greek name? Greek?
Huh? It means in specific, it'll be the Greeks. It started as the Turks, but then a group of them moved down into Greece. So they're both the same people. They're also known as the Palindas, like that. But specifically, Yavana means one opposed to the Vedic ideal, like that. So that if you want to... I guess you should say. The natural would be, instead of referring to a particular social concept of the modern world, you know, we should say, you know, we should, Yavana would be the more generic kind of,
The Protestants. Yeah.
Huh?
The Protestants.
Like that. Then Kasha means basically anyone east of here, including those original in North and South America. Hmm. Kasha means they don't grow full of beards. So then you get that whole. Okay, and others addicted to sinful acts. Due to his being the supreme power. Right? So if you take shelter of the Lord by His supreme potency, His mercy, even such persons who are totally unqualified become qualified. Because the nature of the soul is to be connected to Krishna. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. 14-18. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on verse 18 as follows. Even the condemned sinners, just by a trace of bhakti, become successful. Like just a trace, not that they have to be complete. Those born in the tribes mentioned are considered sinful by birth. Others are sinful by actions. They become purified. Right. So it can mean even those who are not from these tribes will be considered from the better positions. If they're addicted to sinful activities, they're basically the same. Just like a Shudra and a Dvija Bandhu are in the same position. Like that. So the consciousness is the same. Like that. So the point is those who are tribals or those who are not tribals but act like tribals, then they can all be purified by the Lord's grace. Right? So considered sinful by birth or others are considered sinful by actions. They all become purified. Upashraya refers to the devotees. Those who surrender to the devotees, accepting those devotees as gurus, become purified. Right? So if you don't accept them as gurus, you don't become purified. Just as by taking shelter of the proper guru, sinners by birth or action become purified. This indicates that bhakti destroys the prarabdha and aparabdha karmas. The low birth is the cause of impurity for the persons mentioned. Right, because in that point, there's that interest. One is born into that position. But being born in there, then one starts his sinful actions, his activities very early. Yes. Right, you know. Like that. Maybe basically at 6 months, you begin your, you know, like that. The present experience of low birth is the parabdha papa or parabdha karma. The word sudyanti means they are purified. If they are purified, their bad birth must be destroyed. If the bad birth has been destroyed, the parabdha karmas must have been destroyed. When they are called by those names, it should be understood to be for practical reasons. It is not their spiritual designation. For it is forbidden to identify devotees by their birth. Right? So it's just for practical purposes. You know, the Prabhupada's, you know, telling, you know, pointing out at these pandals to the Indian audiences that, you know, here, these devotees all come from the West. They're born from those lines. They're trained there. But now they've taken up Krishna consciousness. Now they're performing all the activities of the Prabhupada. Right? So it's only for practical reasons. It's not that it's an actual identity.
Well,
yes.
I'm failing to see what the practical reason is.
Practical, just for means like that, pointing out that there is a distinction made. There's a difference made there. They started from there, and they've come to this platform, so then why can't the Indians who are so close, why can't they come there?
So it's actually in glorification of bhakti.
Yes. It means it's just there. It's just showing the power of bhakti, because bhakti gets rid of the parabdha papa or the parabdha karma. So therefore, the sinful birth is no longer a consideration.
Yes.
Right. So that. So if it's not a consideration, it means it's been destroyed. But one can talk about it.
Yes.
You know, like that. Just yes.
Do you know why Mulech is left out?
They're basically generally here. It's because I don't think all of them are mentioned. Here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 9 are mentioned.
There's more.
But even the point is it's these members of these, you know, how you say, bona fide sampradaya tribes, or those who are just simply addicted to sinful activities. Because these tribes go back. They're always there.
Yeah, but they're not civilized.
Neither are the others. If you're following Varnashram, civilization starts there. If you're not following Varnashram, you're not civilized. Sophisticated, but not civilized.
Right.
You know, it's like Mahatma Gandhi's line. He said, what do you think of Western culture? And he said, that would be a good idea. Yes. Because they're not civilizations, technically. Because if they want to count them as civilizations, then in that you have the Sumerians, you have the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Mayans, the Incas. These are all civilizations. So even within that, they try to make a distinction that we're better than that, right? By their sophistication. So it's just, you know, it's word juggling. So it's just a matter of what you want to bring out, then they'll use those specific words. It's just standard. That's the advantage of the educated position, is that then we can use the words very cleverly, you know, and come up with all these really nice ways to present something not very nice as good.
Mm.
You know?
They can build houses in a row that are civilized.
That, yeah. Basically, or even they look at if they write, then they're civilized. You know? But yeah, but if you went by that, then the Romans were the most civilized. And people, no one today is as civilized as the Romans, because it's like, you know, even in Germany, who, you know, really takes pride in building roads. Every couple, it means you drive from north to south. There's at least 5 roadworks going on at any one time. But the Roman roads, as they are, some of them are still being used. I mean, just as it is. And then some of them, you know, when you get outside of Rome, where there's no nostalgia, then they, you know, put asphalt on top just because it's easier to drive on, right? You know, so if we went by roads, you know, then civilization disappeared, you know, in 400 A.D.
It's definitely not here.
Huh?
It's definitely not here in Bengal.
Yeah, no, it hasn't arrived. No. You know, yeah.
And okay, a little bit more.
With the destruction of parabdha karma.
Yes.
We see that the devotee continues to exist in his own body. Is there some transition that the body is now under Krishna karma after this?
The body is under Krishna. It means everything is under Krishna karma. There is no karma left. When someone develops that shraddha, now he's working under Krishna. So there is no karma as such. But it's done in such a way that it appears to be in that way. Because otherwise, then everybody gets bent out of shape. You know, it's not like you're driving down the road, you know, like this, and then, you know, when you come, there's that place in, where you come to Krishnagar, you know, and then you go straight, and you go into Krishnagar, and it veers left like that. So if you go down like about 100 meters from there, that's where the Navadvip Mandala starts, like that. So it's not as you come around the corner that you're going along and the sun was over here, and then you drive through here and suddenly it's on this side. No, the spiritual sun, moon, stars, they move in a way that those, even the materialists, are comfortable that things are going normal. Yeah.
Aren't there reactions?
Reactions.
Even for devotees, if they...
No, but it's not coming by karma. It's coming by Krishna's arrangement.
Right.
Because Krishna's taking charge. So it's. But the point is if you do something against the law of nature, then you'll get a reaction for that. Right? But the difference is the non-devotee does something against the laws of nature, then nature itself is bringing it to that balanced position. You're getting the appropriate reaction from whatever is what you've done to the degree you've done it. You know, the circumstances, everything. But with the devotee, then Krishna's taking care of that. But the response is the same, because the point is one needs to follow God's laws. Otherwise, how are you going to adjust within a society? How are you going to adjust within, you know, Vrindavan or Dwarka if you're not willing to follow the rule? The leading devotees are acting in a particular way. So Dharma is doing what they do. So if you're not willing to do that, then you don't fit anywhere. You don't fit into the Lord's material pastimes, you don't fit into his spiritual pastimes. You know. So what's the point?
Tweener?
Kind of. But, you know, generally, you know, rock. You know, they don't do too much. You know. You don't have to worry that they're really, you know, how you say, building up the reactions to their activities, right? You know, they just sit there. The rule is that though they have had low birth, they should be taught bhakti. Right? So that's the point, is no matter what the background, because the soul is the natural position, one is taught bhakti. It doesn't, but it's a gradual process, so it may take time before we start to see that the habits that they have from the low birth start to dissipate. They will with time, but it may take some time. Okay, so we'll stop.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai Jai Nitai Gaura ki.